Hi guys, welcome back to Not By Sight. Oh, it has been a while since the last episode. I took a break that turned into several months, and man, I didn't realize how much I missed doing this. This podcast gives me life. It connects me to people more deeply and allows me to partner with others to create something beautiful. Our stories, especially ones that bring us to our knees, are powerful and they need to be shared. After going through cancer a second time, I knew God wanted me to share my story of how I walked in faith through that ordeal, and I knew that He wanted me to provide a platform where others could also boldly share their valley stories too. This is the whole purpose of this podcast, to share inspiring stories of faith and hope that are birthed out of difficult seasons. Whoever said, "I've never met a strong person with an easy past," was absolutely right. All the really hard stuff that we go through in this life truly sucks. But the worst hardships that we endure truly make us stronger and able to see this life so differently. My next guest is that kind of person. Amy Luminog is in a metaphorical club that she says she would never want to see anyone join. It's called the Chronic Pain Club. She's been a member for years. But as you'll hear in this episode, she's not letting chronic pain define her life. She's using it to bring her closer to God and to others who feel alone. Amy, thank you so much for being on today's show. I'm so, so glad that you agreed to be on this episode.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I feel like we need to let people know, like, we go way back. Like, our history is like, we're talking the trenches of the 1990s.
It's the truth.
Yep. So just so our audience knows, Amy and I were college suite mates, which means that there were four of us girls. We all got thrown together at Wheaton College, and we all got thrown together and we all became really, really, really close friends. And it's kind of a miracle, like, because you think about how when we were all thrown together, how different we all are, right?
Yes, absolutely. And no one knew any of the others at all, you know, which is an unlikely quad pairing to last as long as it has.
Especially the fact that we were together for 4 years at college as complete strangers. But obviously when we got out of school, we were all the closest of friends. So I feel like our friendship over the years has really it's just kind of ebbed and flowed. You know, we've gone from our late teenage, you know, you go to college, you're 18, and here, well, we're not going to say how old we are right now, but let's just leave it at that. But we can say that obviously we've grown, we've matured. And when I think about my friendship with you, Amy, like from college to like where it's at now, I feel like the depths of our friendship are so much more rooted in like a more closer relationship and a vulnerable place. And also the depth of our friendship is really rooted in Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't you say?
I agree.
And I think a lot of that is because we have walked down some hard roads. And the reason why I wanted to have you on today was because I have seen you walk the path of suffering with chronic pain. Over, it's been what, 5 years?
Yeah, just a little over 5 years.
And seeing you walk through that in the way, in the way of grace, but also in the way of realness and depth and groundedness has been something that I've really admired about you as I have watched you walk this valley of your own suffering through chronic pain. So I wanted to start out by kind of asking you, when did your walk with chronic pain start and how did it begin?
Sure. Thank you, Deb, so much for having me on. It's really such a blessing to be here with you. So back in April of 2015, is when this whole thing started. My family and I were living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the time. Pretty stressful time, you know, in some ways bigger, in some ways smaller. But we had an imminent move down to Atlanta, which was a hard move for me. We had moved other times and sort of, you know, pulled up and moved to other states and things in the past. But we had found a community for my daughters in school and in a church, our church community that was so beautiful that it was just really hard to think about leaving. And so I just let an enormous amount of stress build up. And, you know, we know that our body holds on to stress, even if our minds won't allow us to sort of go to those places of wondering why, you know, why things are so tough. So one night out of a dead sleep, I actually woke up having a panic attack. And even that idea of it being a panic attack was not something I knew right away. It actually took a couple of years later and several specialists to even get to the idea that that's probably what happened. But essentially, I had a panic attack, ended up passing out just because of the pain, and had an injury to just underneath my nose, right above my mouth. So that injury, that sort of blunt force trauma, seemed like it might be just a you know, kind of one night thing, an ER visit, and, you know, no fracture, no neck issue showed up on, you know, on the x-ray. So I thought things were good, continue to get ready to, you know, to move. But I had continuing headache, continuing light sensitivity, these strange depth perception issues that were new. So I went even to one of my doctors at that point to say, hey, is this a concussion? And he said firmly, no, it's not concussion. Which I can't imagine now that there wasn't a concussion as part of that. Again, you know, we were in the process of moving. So we went ahead and, you know, I focused on our move to Atlanta. Fast forward to December of that year, where, you know, we're getting settled. The girls are beginning to get used to their schools. And I ended up seeing a chiropractor just to think, well, maybe there were some alignment issues that could help with these continuing headaches and this light sensitivity. And unfortunately, I ended up with a second injury from that chiropractor. And it was a neck injury that then caused so many more sort of debilitating symptoms. So it, you know, I would think with migraines, I was, you know, I kind of told myself that I was like living at an 85. I'm an educator. So I was like, I was getting a solid B in life, you know, and I'm kind of an overachiever, or was at the time. So I wanted to be getting an A in life. And man, after that second injury, it was like, I just was failing. Like, I just felt like I couldn't sort of live very well past all these strange new symptoms and the pain.
So after that second injury, tell me what life day in, day out was like for you regarding, you know, the headaches and your pain level. Like, what kind of pain are we talking about? And, you know, along with your symptoms and the degree of pain that you would be experiencing.
It was like a daily sort of band pressure headache. That also had some migraine components, but there were also some strange things like this feeling of ear pressure. There was neck pain. I had eye strain. I had nausea. Then I had this sort of vestibular stuff, like this sort of imbalance, kind of a sense of being disconnected from my life, almost like I could watch my life play out, but not really feel connected to myself. It was the strangest thing. You know, GI symptoms, fatigue, sort of this this kind of vague fog over everything. And then anxiety in a whole new way, of course, because of, you know, sort of so many things that felt like they were off in different systems at the same time.
So this obviously led you on kind of a wild goose chase of trying to figure out, what am I dealing with? What is my diagnosis? Can you just tell me briefly about what kind of help were you going out there looking for? And what was that whole journey like of going to doctors and trying to figure it out?
Right. So the hard thing is, after every specialist I would see, basically they would say, hey, everything looks good. Everything looks fine. Can't find anything. And so, you know, I was having these really difficult symptoms, but not having any sense of, you know, what was going wrong necessarily, or why, you know, why these things were happening or what to do. So we kept ruling things out, but really didn't rule anything in until, like 2 years in. I stopped counting after 25 specialists. I just decided that count was not worth it. 2 years in, I actually ended up with a diagnosis, finally, of something, you know, a condition that's rare and does not have a cure, just has treatment. It's called intracranial hypertension. So it's too much pressure, too much fluid pressure around the brain. Shortly after that, and I had gone to Duke in their neuroradiology department to find that information out there. They were a great group. Shortly after that, I went down to Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, and talked to a great, well-known headache doctor there who diagnosed cervicogenic headache as well, which is neck-derived headache. So those two pieces are basically my diagnosis, but neither of them has very clear, just idea about how to treat. And, you know, this, the one, that the pressure piece doesn't have a cure. So, you know, it's just meant, living in a very different way, learning to live in a very different way.
Well, and that's what I want to ask you about is, you know, it's like you've got these multiple components of you're dealing with daily chronic pain, and then you're finding out, well, for a long time, you didn't even know what the heck was going on, what was causing it. And then you finally get this diagnosis and they're like, there's no cure for it. And so talk about amping up anxiety, some depression, I would think. What was it like living day in and day out with not only this pain, but also, you know, I would think just questions and wondering, am I ever going to be well? Like, can you walk me through like what that has been like for you?
Yeah, it was a hard thing with Jesus. You know, Jesus and I have had a lot of talks. Just this idea of learning how to function with limitation. You know, when I realized that, you know, for a lot of people, if you've ever had a migraine headache, you know, you stop doing what you're doing, you lie down, maybe you lie down for the day, for half a day, and then you wake up and the next day you move on. Well, after some time, I realized like I was going to wake up every day as if I had a migraine. I was going to wake up every day and still try to figure out how to do life. So what that meant was that I had to get really clear really quickly on my priorities. And at that point, you know, it just narrowed my world. I read a book that a beautiful, lovely friend had given me, just that made this point. It was a book about dealing with chronic pain, about feeling hedged in. And so, you know, Jesus and I had, and we still have conversations about why that is, you know, why a hedging in or a limited kind of existence for a season is okay. And theologically, you know, that it's maybe not okay. It's not God's plan. It's not really, you know, there are results of a broken world. But really, the conversations with the Lord, you know, they got to some of my deepest questions of, you know, what our existence is for and what mine is for and what that means. But what I ended up really having to do was clearly focus on what was important in my life. And at that point, I was actually moving into becoming a single parent. And so my the two areas of focus were my employment and my daughters, to be able to focus on, you know, being available for them and doing what it took to meet their needs.
Can you think of like pivotal moments in your journey through this like daily chronic pain that were very pivotal for you, where, you know, either, it was sitting down and kind of having like a reckoning with God, why is this happening? Or, you know, even just, you know, anger, frustration, like, were there certain, like, I don't want to say milestones, but moments that you can look back on and say, okay, I saw a shift there or a shift here?
That's a big question. I feel like there have been big and small moments like that, and they're almost hard to come back to. I will say, you know, initially, my relationship with the Lord changed. It had to grow. It had to grow closer. I had to rely more heartily and steadily on God. And so I actually began a process of spiritual direction, which is part of my own. I'm an Anglican Christian. And so spiritual direction is, something that sort of is part of, you know, the way that I have chosen to be a disciple of the Lord. But just this sense of like sitting with someone else who is equipped and capable to help hear the Holy Spirit, or position someone else to hear the Holy Spirit well. And so there were some key moments in spiritual direction, and have been through the years, that just confirmed to me that while I still have, you know, or have for so long had big question marks over different areas of my life, that Jesus was absolutely still there, that he was still present. There's one story I'll tell, and then that probably it's pretty cool. but so one of my best friends, who is herself a spiritual director, Summer Gross, we were in a spiritual direction session at one point when, we were practicing an exercise of trying to be in a safe place. So I was trying to put myself in a safe place in the world and, just ask Jesus to show up there. So I found myself at my grandpa's pond, the pond that I used to fish out of when I was a little kid. And so in this sort of vision, Jesus approaches me and we sit on the dock together, and I'm sitting, my back is faced to the water, and I have this like visceral fear that he's going to push me in, that I'm going to go in and somehow I'm not going to know how to get out, which was a really strange thing. I sat with that and prayed for a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks later, I had asked another friend who's a powerful intercessor to pray just for healing. And she prayed and had, you know, beautiful things to remind me of. And the last thing she told me in prayer, she said, "The last thing I see, and I'm not sure, but I feel like I should tell you, the last thing I see is you and Jesus at a pond." She didn't know my other story.
Wow.
And wow. She said, he just like, you know, you have to go in, but he takes your hand and you go in together. So as hard as the idea of going into a place you don't want to go, as hard as that idea is, this, this truth that Jesus would not leave me alone, that he would be there, that he would be present, has been, you know, kind of this undulating and consistent truth throughout these years. And then, you know, fast forward to, gosh, there was probably a year or so ago, I see a new spiritual director, a different spiritual director now. And in maybe the second or third session we had together, as we were ending a prayer session, again, she does not know these other, like, she doesn't know we haven't, you know, told the stories. She, in prayer, she said to me, I see you and Jesus at a pond.
Wow.
Like, why does this keep happening? And this image was full of beauty and peace and rest and easy breath. And it was just such a beautiful image. And I was able to learn, even though I wasn't in a place where I could see how that image could be real at all in my own life, because of the way the Lord had showed up through others in prayer over the years, in that very cool way, it's a very hopeful thing. You know, I can sort of see that picture in my mind as a picture of hope, in some ways hope in the present and also hope for the future.
That is so powerful.
It is so cool.
Yeah. And there's really no explanation for it outside of God speaking. I mean,
right.
You know?
Right. You know, as hard as that is. And of course, I want that story without the pain. I want that story without, this is how it is. This is where I am. And, Jesus is here.
You've also shared with me another image that is so easy to see. And I remember when you shared it with me a while back, I was so moved by it. But it was this image that you shared about what it's like walking through pain every day and what you're holding on to. Can you share that?
Sure.
You know, again.
Yeah. If someone is willing to accept the truth that God is, you know, that God is real and that Jesus is present and trustworthy, that his plans are actually good, even if you don't see a good thing down the road, you know, that trust itself, I think, can be like the motivating thing. So the image that I have really had for the last little while is just this image of being like, I don't know if we can, like, if you ever as a young child remember, like, you know, maybe it's been a long day of walking, like if you're at, you know, a park or like, I don't know, like, some kind of event where you're tired, you're hot, you've been walking longer than you want, you know. So I have this image like I'm this child holding on to my dad's hand. And I'm sort of being dragged behind him. You know, he knows where we're going. I don't know where we're going. I need a drink. I need a rest. I've walked, you know, I've taken more steps than my little legs can carry me. But, and I don't know where I'm going, but I know he knows where we're going. And, you know, that's a hard thing. It's hard to be that parched. It's hard to be that tired. But the bottom line is like, because I trust that that where my father is taking me is good, because I trust that he knows what he's doing, then I trust the fact that he's still holding my hand and still having me, you know, walk, even if it's dragging behind, that's okay.
I feel like that is also too such an image of the whole theme of this podcast, which is faith in the valley, you know, walking, you know, without sight,
yeah,
walking blind. That is an image of walking blind. But the thing is, as followers of Christ, we know that we don't walk alone, that we're not, even though we're walking blindly, just as you're holding onto the Father's hand, which is like a child holding onto a parent's hand, deep down, like you're saying, you know that you can trust that the Father is leading you in a safe way, yeah. you know, and that He is good. But still at the same time, like I think about, you know, especially even people listening, like, and myself included, like I have maybe put my, like I've dabbled in some chronic pain, but I have never had it day in, day out. And so to think about the level of pain that we're talking about in a chronic way over years, I would think that it could make people really question their faith and really question, like, God, are you there? Are you here? But to me, it sounds like you have received confirmation that God is with you. Did you ever have moments though, where you know, where your faith was in question and where your faith and even, you know, even just having faith, period. Mm-hmm. Have you gone through those moments as well? I'm assuming you probably have.
Well, yes. There was a point probably like close to 2 years in, and there have been little points like this, but where I wanted to not believe God was real. Because, and it's the age-old question, this problem of pain. How could a God of love, you know, allow so much pain, allow someone to go through such heartache, you know, and heartbreak and pain. And I tried hard for a little while to just dismiss the idea that God existed and dismiss the idea that God is real. The trouble was, He kept showing up. He kept showing up through other people. He kept showing up through like divine coincidence, you know, the coincidence that isn't really a coincidence, like, you know, with like different things that would happen with, you know, with medicine or with, there were so many areas where He wouldn't stop showing up. And, you know, I have prided myself, and I'm using that word pride, like not, it's not always great. I have sort of dealt with this idea of my intellect being an important part of my identity forever, for as long as I can remember. Like if I can just be smart enough and smart my way out of anything, then I can smart my way into anything and do what I need to do. And, you know, so this idea of like trying to outsmart my problem when it wasn't working. And I wanted to just think that God was not real. He wouldn't stop making it clear, to the point where I would have been a fool to think that He wasn't actually real. I mean, that's really how it went. Like, I realized that as much as I would have preferred to just say, well, God must not be real because this pain is too much, He wouldn't stop showing up.
Wow. What do you think you would have done if you didn't have your faith?
Yeah, I don't know. And I actually don't know how anyone who doesn't have, you know, faith in God or something to hang their, you know, to hang their hope on. I don't know how anyone does it. So, you know, I've joked with you and others that, like, you know, I'd probably be like under a bridge somewhere shooting heroin, or, you know, I don't know. Is that what you do with heroin? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that is what you do with heroin. So, not that I know, but I'm just saying, yes, I do know this is true.
Right. Yeah. But just, you know, this idea of, you know, how hard it would be without some sort of grounding hope, without some sort of, you know, place where there's, you know, there's trust beyond circumstances that can be seen. It also has just helped me see other people's pain and just the, you know, the pain in the world in with different eyes as well. Because there are so many people who just end up kind of on the margins of society, because coping with something that won't go away, something unwanted that won't go away, is hard. It's just hard. And, you know, to try to push through and still be present and still be productive, you know, that's not an easy thing. But I can't imagine, really, you know, trying to kind of move through my days without some other grounding, without that grounding in God.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you're speaking to a level of empathy, that you can relate to, especially people that are dealing with physical suffering that you probably couldn't have empathy or true, real empathy for if you had not been experiencing this kind of pain yourself.
Right. And, you know, this isn't a party I'd invite anybody to. Like, I wouldn't wish my symptoms on my worst enemy. But the truth is, you know, for those people who do find themselves in a place where suffering continues, it's been important for me to see others in that same space, you know, and to, like, we can help one another realize that we're not alone. I think it's important, like, as a believer, and maybe as believers, as the body of Christ, to, you know, for us to come alongside one another and support each other in those areas where, you know, healing continues to not come.
What truths about God have you leaned on and kind of anchored yourself in, as you have walked through this season of pain?
So even using that word anchor, that image has been an image that's been important for me. You know, just the idea that even in a swirling body of water, something that has no edges, no parameters, which is sort of how I felt for a while, just that, you know, the trustworthiness of God and the faithfulness of God could be something that is, you know, a solid place that doesn't move. So that Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, Paul is, you know, doing the lovely complex sentence thing he does there, where he's talking about the faithfulness of God. And I like the end of 18 and the beginning of 19, where he says, you know, he's talking about, you know, believers in Christ. And he said, we who have fled for refuge, like we trust in God so that we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. So that idea of hope itself being an anchor for the soul, that idea has been really important. And you know, even that idea that, you know, what the enemy might have meant for evil, the Lord turns for good. The Lord works all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, I've just said, okay, Lord Jesus, you know, I'm excited to see you turn this one around. I'm watching, yeah. You know, I'm waiting with bated breath here. See how you're going to turn this one around for good.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, some of those just promises that remind me of the sovereignty of God, that, you know, nothing's too big for God. Nothing is a surprise. And that he's, you know, that he sees all the way down the path of my life.
I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where else have you found, you know, sources of strength and hope and faith, you know, whether that be in community or, you know, it sounds like obviously with your, you know, spiritual direction, what other sources have really kind of buoyed you up and have upheld you?
So, I love music, just as a sort of little side musician myself, just love hearing, you know, a good message through song. So, you know, different songs through the years have been important. Connecting with Jesus in nature, because truly some of the symptoms initially even made it hard for me to read scripture. Like my eyes would just get so tired. So there have been different ways that I've had to connect with the Lord, but that have provided like just a lovely different ways of also interacting with the world, like really looking for his beauty in nature, you know, the beauty around me. But really, hands down, the most beautiful expression of the hands and feet of Jesus through these years has been people in my life. People like you, you know, old friends who have, you know, have known kind of my long story, family, you know, even just most recently, the staff team at the preschool that I've directed, people who, you know, if there's a willingness to be a little bit vulnerable, which is not easy for me, it's not easy for me to need something from other people. I had got very used to being the person who provides for people who have need. And so to be in that place of needing to be helped, is hard. And so, but so many people have leaned in ways that just astound me. I can look behind me and there they are, you know, kind of metaphorically, but, yeah.
Well, and I think that you really do touch on something that is so, so big. When you were talking too about kind of this up and down too of, you know, season of like, of your faith being really tested and knowing that you had to be vulnerable and it's okay to say, I'm struggling and I don't even have the faith right now, but I'm going to grab onto your faith. And I know for us, like friends of yours, you know, me and Jen and Faye, like just kind of standing in that gap too, and really lifting you up in prayer. Like we have received blessing in that too, because it is, it's so important for us to carry each other's burdens. And I know for your particular, you know, issues with this chronic pain, I have felt such a closeness to it. And again, maybe that also comes from the whole learning empathy from going through some suffering of my own. But when I would pray for you, like I just had this image of like lift, like upholding you, like lifting you up to Jesus and just wanting him to just take you and heal you. And which there's so much more to your story that we're about to even get to here, but I feel like he is healing you. And you have found this treatment very recently that is bringing some success to your pain levels. And I wanted you to kind of tell us about that. What led to this latest treatment of your journey here?
Yes, certainly. Before I do, I just want to again say thank you, because what you just articulated about, you know, friends whose faith we can lean on, I think it's vital. You know, I remember saying to you girls when we would, you know, meet for prayer, like, I don't have hope right now, but can I hold on to your hope? Can you hope this for me? And then, you know, having other areas where maybe it's a long prayer that, you know, someone's been praying for a long time and they are tired of praying it, but I have energy to pray for it for you. You know, I'll hope that for you, and you hope mine for me.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's so powerful.
Absolutely. And it is okay to just kind of lay it down and just, you know, let other people believe for you. Because I find personally, and I still find this with myself today, is it's really, in some ways, it's easier for me to think like God is gonna help or heal or hook up that other person than it is to believe that he's gonna like heal or hook me up sometimes. I don't know why that is, but for some reason I think, I mean, God uses that though, you know, he uses that belief and faith that I think sometimes we can have for other people, and then he allows other people to have it for us, you know?
Yeah. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And, you know, we can get inside our own heads, like you were just saying, like, you know, the healing or the power of God in your own life might be available for someone else, but not for us. And that's lies from the enemy that we, I think, at various points choose to believe. And, you know, there's stories, there's stories we tell ourselves, and they're not true. And when we can be together in community, we can remind one another, nope, this is your story. This is who you really are. And we help one another get there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you were asking about this newest intervention.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is actually pretty cool. Somewhat new idea in pain relief, neurostimulation. It's basically neurofeedback, and it is more invasive. So, and I don't, you know, I'll get a little medical here and try not to get like too specific for anybody who doesn't want to hear about it. But it, you know, it is like a procedure where, you know, I end up with a battery pack. Like implanted battery pack and two little electric leads that go up to the cervical area of my spine. So, you know, up there in my neck. And so it's basically neurostimulation that is intended to help the brain reinterpret pain signals as not pain.
Wow.
So we just gave it a trial. I had to do, you know, you have to do a trial first, of course, to see if it even works. And so I was like, well, we'll see if the, you know, if anything happens with a trial, will the trial, you know, help to mitigate so many symptoms across so many systems at the same time? It did feel like, you know, sort of coming up for air after a long time, after a long held breath. That has been such an enormous gift and such an enormous relief, truly. So the trial was successful. So I was able to have the procedure that it, you know, offers the long-term implant.
How much has it reduced the pain for you?
So, you know, it's been a month since I've been using it, and it feels I'm thinking probably 65% or so better. So 65% relief, which is actually fantastic. You know, when other interventions would provide no relief, when we were looking at zero or maybe 10% for 2 weeks or something like that, this is a big deal. I do think of it as a modern medical miracle. And, you know, miraculous just in the sense that it does open up, you know, it takes some of the limits, some of the limitations off of my days. I've got more energy, you know, just like in lots of areas, the ability to sort of move forward in a different way. There's still pain, you know, I still have headache pain every day, but it's not as severe, and we're still tweaking it too. So we can still try to figure out, you know, the best possible way to make it work. You know, it really could provide relief that sort of changes the game. It's just a reminder to me, like, that hanging on was a good idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So true. So true. What good things have you seen that have come out of this very difficult season, especially related to your family, especially your daughters? What things have you seen transpire that maybe wouldn't have happened, you know, even for the best for you and your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's a hard thing to think that good things come out of hard things. But the truth is, it's a paradigm that God has allowed for us on the, you know, on this planet. That question, like, you know, has come up for my younger daughter a lot. Why is pain this paradigm that God has allowed to push us closer to him? Or, you know, and there's all kinds of theology that, you know, sort of can come up within that question. But I mean, really, in terms of good that's come out of this season, a slowdown was a good idea. Now, I would submit that this, you know, as slow as I had to get was maybe not where we wanted to be, but like the slowdown was good. And then just being, you know, being authentic, like trying to model focusing on what's important, trying to model vulnerability and honesty. You know, as a single parent right now, like the idea of modeling faith and honesty to my girls is vital. And so to be able to do that, because that's how it works in our lives, in all the different facets of our lives, means that that's how it is at home as well. And, you know, and I'm hopeful. I mean, I just still feel like we're all in the middle of this story, right? My younger daughter, you know, I had mentioned to her once, man, maybe I'll just put this all in a book one day. And she kind of really glommed onto that. So every once in a while, she'll say, Mom, how much work have you done on your book? And one day she said, you know, I'll help you. Like when you get all this put, you know, put down and put together, like, I'll help tell his story. So I want the Lord to like show himself faithful to her and to my older daughter, like that there is redemption that comes out of this story.
Amen. Amen. That's so, so good. Yeah. And just, I mean, like what you were saying just about how, I mean, really true faith to me is not really seen until you're in the fire. And that is what your daughters have seen in their mother. They have seen you in the fire. And that is when faith is truly like it either is true or it's false. And, I mean, I know that you're leaving a lasting, you know, imprint on their lives through your walk through this difficult season. But gosh, just so our audience knows, your daughters are freaking amazing, by the way. I mean, I love Ainsley and Hadley so much, and God's got them. He does, you know, and I'm so thankful that you're their mother. I mean, I just, gosh, and it speaks a lot to your parenting as well. I just, yeah.
Thank you.
Are there any words of encouragement that you would want to share with others out there who could be listening, who are in the midst of pain, of suffering, of really struggling? What words of hope or encouragement would you want to share?
I think the thing that it feels like it's sort of been a theme of, you know, of this time together, Deb. But it's really what has been on my heart as I've prayed is just this encouragement that no one is alone, that we are not alone. And I think, I don't know, you know, if others would relate to sort of the difficulty of doing the brave work of being vulnerable, of asking for help, of admitting to someone else who's trusted, like, I'm not okay. This isn't going well. I need help.
Absolutely.
That's such a beautiful and a brave stance. It is not weak. It is extraordinarily powerful. And I think then what we realize is that, you know, there may be areas where we all need someone else to remind us that we're not alone. We all need one another. And that's been such an important just piece in my own story, just to realize that I'm not walking this, you know, this road alone on earth. There are people all around. There are people around the country and around the planet, actually, who have been praying and who will get to hear this testimony and who will continue to get to hear the testimony, right? And that's the, like, that's a cool thing about anyone who asks in, right? Asks for help and has that chance to realize that, nope, I'm not alone either. And, you know, and just that we're actually never left to our own devices by Jesus. We are not alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do believe that the enemy of our souls wants us to think that we are alone, because when we're in kind of this isolation mode, which obviously a lot of us are under quarantine, like, I just think even now in this time and place, for such a time as this, like, we have to reach out to people and we have to let people know that we might feel alone, you know? But just like you're saying, how important it is to just have that vulnerability with others and to not look at it like a weakness. I love that. And I love that you've done that through this journey by letting people in. Is there anything else that you want to share or add that I haven't asked? Anything where you feel like we need to make sure we say it before we wrap this up?
The only other thing that's been on my mind, there's a song that I love that has been, I mean, for me, every once in a while, there are songs that come up where it's like the song was written to my soul and not just to my, you know, my intellect or my heart. And even just, you know, like last night as I was like doing some baking, I was listening to Spotify and, you know, Be Thou My Vision came on, which I love and have loved for a long time. And at the end of that song, I just had a lot of emotion with God and kind of did a little scream session with, like, is this really what you meant? Is this really, you know, even like, you know, because there are always things that are hard, right? There are always things that are hard. So I'm like, you know, on my knees, like screaming at Jesus, you know, like by myself in my house. And the next song that comes on is the same song that Spotify could not possibly shuffle this and have it come on as many times as it does for me. I almost feel like the Holy Spirit's like, nope, we're going to switch it to this one. And it's an old gospel, it's an old Southern gospel song called Farther Along. And the verses are really beautiful, but the chorus is just so simple. It's just, farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brothers. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. It's really gorgeous. And I feel like, you know, that's a song that it's been around for decades. Like, it's been covered by a lot of people. Like, you know, it's difficulty is part of the human condition. But it's okay. You know, that faith and that trust that says God is good. You know, things will be made right at some point. We have that promise. Things will be made right. It's not a question of whether.
Right.
So, yeah, I just thought I'd share those lyrics because they're fresh. And I think that it reminds us too, that, there are ways we all want to know, like, you know,
right,
how the Lord intends to, you know, to use or to redeem, right, the various brokennesses around us.
Absolutely.
And it's okay. We'll be okay.
Do you mind if I wrap us up in prayer?
Absolutely. I'd love that.
And this, okay. God, I just thank you so much for this time. I thank you for Amy's willingness and her bravery to share her story and to be vulnerable, to share her journey with pain and how that has affected and influenced her life, but hasn't had the power over her life. And I thank you for the fact that she has used and is still using this season to point back to you, And I thank you for this whole theme, especially of this podcast with focusing on the fact that we are never alone. And I just pray that for whoever is listening to this, that they would know deep in their spirit that they are never alone and that you are always there. And I even pray too that, that for people who don't know you, God, that, that there would be some conversation, that there would be some reaching out, that there would be even questions with raised fists, like, where are you? And that you would respond just the way you have done to your daughter, Amy, and just the way you have done in my life as well. You have responded clearly through things that are not coincidences. They are God instances. And so I just pray that you would use your love and your intimacy to reach people even right now in this moment, God. And I just pray for Amy that you would continue to heal her body, Father. We ask that that you would heal her while she's on this earth, Father. And I pray that this treatment that she is using now, God, that it would continue to just further improve her symptoms and that the pain would stop altogether. I thank you for being our great physician and trustworthy God. Amen. Amy, thank you so much for being on tonight and just for everything you shared. It's really blessed me. And I just feel like there is so much power in testifying, especially through very difficult times. And so I'm so grateful for you.
Thanks so much for the invitation. It's been a joy.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode. Reach out to me at notbysightpodcast@gmail.com. And also be sure to subscribe to Not By Sight with Deborah Stewart on iTunes. I'd also love it if you would consider writing a review so that more people can find and connect to this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.